This is the BBC.
This podcast is supported by advertising outside the UK.
BBC Sounds. Music, radio, podcasts.
In this place, Gaychester, the LGBT plus history of Manchester.
Hello, I'm Phil Lester, and you may have seen me on the internet as Amazing Phil. I've been making videos for over 10 years, and I recently publicly came out as gay online. It was a pretty nerve-wracking video to post to such a large audience, but thankfully the reaction was overwhelmingly positive, and I'm happy about the support I received from my family and friends. But not everyone has the same support which I received. Many LGBT plus people still don't receive a positive reaction when they come out, and their relationships with their families can break down, which can sometimes result in them being rejected or even having to leave home. That's why a charity called the Albert Kennedy Trust, now known as AKT, exists. 2019 marks 30 years since the charity was founded. It was a celebration attended by a very royal visitor.
What do you think about that, in terms of if one of your kids would be LGBT?
Sure. So as I said next door, I think I've only started thinking about it since I've had children, really, to be honest. And so it is something I'm nervous about, not because I'm worried about them being gay or anything. It's more about the fact that I'm worried about the pressures, as you are, and I'm here, that they're going to face, and how much harder their life could be. So from a parent point of view, that's the angle I worry about, is that I wish we lived in a world that it was, like you said, that was really normal, you know, cool. But particularly for my family, in the position that we are in, that's the bit I'm nervous about.
That was His Royal Highness Prince William. He's a member of a family who are a symbol of the British spirit. A spirit Prince William seems to be making clear is now opening its arms to LGBT plus individuals. So who was Albert Kennedy, and how did he inspire the work of AKT? Well, it was all started by a woman named Kath Hall in her front room.
And see this naughty girl, this ginger and white one? She's Pixie, and she's 9 years old, and she's a Brittany Spaniel. They used to be called Brittany Spaniels, now they're just called Brittanys. This one is my son's dog, and he's very gorgeous and lovely until he meets other dogs, and then he's like a prize fighter. They're all rescue dogs, actually. And that's who they are.
Kath has devoted much of her life to public service. When her three children had grown up, she decided to become a foster parent.
I was teaching. I've been teaching since I left college. And I decided to foster because some of the children I was teaching with special needs were in care. And I just thought it'd be something to do. I was quite young at the time. I was 42, and then my three children were grown up, you see.
Her first foster child was a boy called Alan.
So I took on Alan, who was 8 at the time. And for some reason, I don't know why it was, but every time I went out with him, any sort of teenagers around, 13, 14-year-olds, they used to say, oh, there's that gay kid. And I thought, you know, why did they say that? I couldn't say anything different about him to anybody else, really. When he was about 13, I asked him if he was gay. I said, do you think that you're gay? And he said, I don't think it, I know it. As I thought, that was the most unusual answer, really, and something that you couldn't ignore. But I didn't know anything about anybody who was gay. So I thought I'd better just find out, because I don't know what it's like to go out every day as a gay person and maybe he needs some help in some way, and I didn't know how to help him. So I found a contact line for the gay helpline, Friend, I think it was called, in Manchester, and I rang them up, and they told me about a youth group that was held on Saturday afternoon at the gay centre.
So Kath took Alan along to the group, a group which also supported a gay teenager called Albert Kennedy. He becomes a big part of the story. But first, let's go back to Kath and Alan.
It was just a big bare room with a table and chairs and kettle, teapot, things like that. Nothing at all for a youth club. No disco equipment, no, canoes or hiking gear, right? Anything like that. Alan thought it was wonderful, and he said it was the first time in his life that he had friends. He was 13 at this time. I joined the other two mums, you see, and started working at the youth group. Nothing very much happened there. They used to come, they used to chat to the mums. Most of them had not told the parents where they were going. They said they were going into town to meet friends from school.
I had a very bad coming out experience. My dad was great, but my dad was very poorly when I was a teenager. But my mum was just disgusted with the whole thing.
Today, Tim Sigsworth is the CEO of the AKT, but he remembers that youth group Kath and her son attended.
You've got to remember, I came out when HIV was rife, so as far as my mum was concerned, I was going to die. So she was like, you just hide it away. I don't want to know anything about this. It's disgusting. So I just ran to youth group twice a week as a way of just, you know, being with people who cared about me, who wanted to, you know, be part of my real family.
Not all of the young people attending had parents as supportive as Kath.
The first boy turned up with a black bin bag with his own things in. All his things in had been thrown out of home the night before. And what happened, and subsequently found out what happened to him and others that turned up in the similar situation, was that they'd go out on a Friday night and just say, tell the parents that they're off out with friends, and they might get back a little bit late. And there'd be a family argument about where have you been and who with and why are you coming in at this time. And then the young person would get angry and say, anyway, I'm gay, so there. And that was it, out. So when this had happened two or three times, and we also had some young people coming to the youth group who were already in care and in children's homes or foster homes, the situation became desperate, really. And as a mother, you know, I couldn't see these young people like this homeless. They were totally shocked and traumatised by the fact that they'd been sent from their homes. They had no idea where to go, what to do, who to talk to. And if they were wandering about the streets late at night, they were open to exploitation. And you know, tempted to go home with anybody that would just give them a bed for the night.
Hearing about these young people inspired Kath to take action.
So something had to be done, and I thought about it for quite a long time. So we'd started a parents' group, realising that the parents were the problem. We wanted to get hold of parents and talk to them and try and reconcile them to the children. I decided that, you know, the time had come to do something, because there was a boy who came to the youth group who'd had an untimely death in Manchester. That was Albert Kennedy.
There's always been some debate around the death of Albert Kennedy. The official version is that he died from misadventure. Others stated that he was being chased by queer bashers. But it's clear Albert was being bullied and led a troubled life.
I'd known him from when he was about 15, I think, when he first started coming to the group for a couple of years. At that time, we ran a really good lesbian gay youth group from the Gay Centre in Bloom Street.
Paul Fairweather is an LGBT plus campaigner who knew Albert.
He was in care in Salford and actually being harassed and bullied by the people who were supposed to be supporting him.
Knowing Albert was being bullied and convinced that something had to be done, Kath used a room in the town hall and wrote a letter to a local LGBT plus magazine.
So I put in this letter to the magazine, anybody who wants to help to find a solution to this problem, come along to this meeting. And we talked about it, and a group of people, roughly 10 people, decided that they'd stick with me. And then what I had to do was to convince the people that came to that meeting, who were all from the LGBT community, to convince them that if they didn't do something, nobody else would. That it had to be them. And fortunately, the people who came along soon became angry and passionate about, you know, about the situation.
They formed a committee who met in Kath's home.
I'd suggested that we had a sort of foster care situation where we recruited older LGBT people to be sort of big brothers or big sisters and take a young person into their homes as long as they had a, you know, the space in the home and support them.
Other committee members wanted to name the new organisation after Kath, but she suggested they name it after Albert. The AKT today is still doing what Kath outlined in her front room, It matches young LGBT plus people in need of help with older mentors, many of whom offer a space in their own homes for months at a time to those who've been rejected from their own. It's a lot of work and a lot of checks to ensure everyone is safe. But to achieve charitable status at the time, they had to make some changes.
Charities Commission said we needed more than one heterosexual person to make sure, you know, to oversee everything, to make sure that everything was above board, sort of thing. Yeah, it did seem atrocious, but we were prepared to jump through hoops to get the charitable status and whatever.
We asked the Charities Commission about this, who said...
Sarah Atkinson, Director of Policy. We are sorry for what was said to the charity 30 years ago by the Charity Commission. It was wrong and must have been deeply hurtful to those involved in the charity. I give the charity and the public my guarantee that this could not happen today. We are bound, as all public bodies are, by equality legislation that would today make such requirements unlawful as well as wrong. We are a different organisation than we were 30 years ago, and we operate in a different, more equal society. No doubt the progress we have made is in part thanks to the work of charities such as AKT, and we wish them well as they mark their 30th anniversary.
It's hard to believe nowadays where charities have paid staff teams, but these were all volunteers. We didn't have paid staff until the 90s. So what happened was you had literally had this group of seven people taking young people into their homes. And people are always a little bit shocked by that, you know, but these were young people who were on the streets. And if they hadn't, you know, if CAF hadn't organised for them to have somewhere safe to stay, they'd still be on the streets.
The types of people who the Trust help today has changed massively since they first started.
We've seen a massive rise in trans people coming through our door. So at least 30% of our young people are trans, and people of colour. I remember when I was at youth group, I think there were three people of colour at youth group amongst a myriad of people. And what was really interesting here is 62% of our young people are people of colour. And if you go down south, it's 79% of our young people that we work with.
They'll still try to help any young LGBT plus person who approaches them. Edmund is a 22-year-old from the Wirral who went to the Trust for support when he was younger.
My sort of early years... began with a very abusive childhood. I was deprived of academic education. I was abandoned at the age of 15. I'd lived in a very homophobic household, very abusive. I self-taught myself to read and write at the age of 17. I managed to get into education at that age. I spoke with a youth worker who told me about the Albert Kennedy Trust, but at that time I was situated in West Yorkshire in Hebden Bridge, and I felt at the time sort of closed off. And, you know, I came over one cold winter's evening, was greeted by Angela. She's my guardian angel, and, you know, told Angela a bit about myself, my struggles, my intentions. You know, Angela said, leave it with me. I ended up getting a little flat in Fallowfield. That was very eventful. I'd gone from care to independence, and I don't think I could 100% have done it if it weren't for AKT.
The Trust helped Edmund through some tough times, and he now gives back to the Trust as a young ambassador. This year, he was one of the young people to meet Prince William. The Trust has come a long way from CAF's front room. Tim hopes that one day there'll be no need for an organisation like the AKT to exist.
I'd like to know that every young person can be safe and accommodated at home and have a loving family around them. I didn't have that, and it breaks my heart that 30 years on, young people are still facing that situation. So that's the big thing for me. And I think the only way we're going to achieve that is prevention. So ensuring young people are helped through the process of coming out, ensuring people have help the minute things start to go wrong at home, that's when we need to be there for them.
There are still a lot of issues for young LGBT plus individuals in the UK, but I do think things are improving year upon year, with more and more people being open about who they are and showing that there's nothing wrong with being something other than straight or the gender that you're assigned at birth. Since my coming out video, I've had so many young people sending me messages of positivity and hope, and a lot of them have also shared their coming out stories too. It's really encouraging to see these messages being met with such love and support, and I think society is definitely headed in the right direction. I feel lucky to have never had to seek out a charity like the AKT myself, but the work has changed the lives of many. And without one woman's passion for helping others, it might never have existed.
I've never seen Kath's eyes sparkle as they do around young people. And you put her in a room with a group of young people and it's the lifeblood in Kath. She always listened to young people. She always engaged with them. And they just loved it. And I think that's what drove her on. And that's what I saw. And I just wanted to take her home and make her my mum. And now she's kind of she is my mum, as far as I'm concerned. Absolutely. Kath was the original ally.
If you need help with LGBT plus issues, or if you have suicidal thoughts, visit the BBC Action Line at bbc.co.uk/actionline. In This Place was produced by Robert Beck, Joe Deal and Joe Newsholm. It was edited by Nikki Edwards and Sam Turner. It's a BBC Education production.
BBC Sounds. Music, radio, podcasts.